The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Very good today. Thank you.
Okay, good. We have with us Bob Warner, who is no stranger to our program. You are a heating and cooling specialist. How are you today?
Good, Jackie. How are you?
Great. Thanks for being here with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we talk real estate. We have been appraising, listing, and selling real estate for over 40 years. We have a full-time office with approximately 18, 19 full-time realtors.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and click that and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
Look us up on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Remember to view our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, jruddy.com, which is also mobile friendly. Bob Warner, heating and cooling specialist. How are you today?
Good, Jack.
You ready for our discussion?
Yeah, let's talk air conditioning. Yeah.
We're going to talk about cooling, air conditioning. Central air. There's the ductless air.
There's the window units that you can throw in
wall
and let all
units.
The bugs in.
Yeah, so what's popular these days?
Well, in old homes, everybody likes the ductless. You could hang them on the wall and you don't need to run ductwork and cut your house apart.
So is that what you usually tell people when they have an older home and they want air conditioning, but they don't want to do window units?
Yeah, the ductless is a lot more effective when you don't have the space to run ductwork. If you have finished off basements or attics that you can't get into,
it's easier to install.
It's easier to install if your floor plan is right too. If you have open areas, one big room with a living room, kitchen area, you could cool it down easily with a ductless. Now there's multiple units. You could put off one outdoor unit if you want to put a couple in your bedrooms and one in a bigger living area. So they
can all work off the same
one outside unit, or you could put separate units in with each individual indoor unit.
Is it more cost effective than a central air unit?
Yeah, most of the time it's a lot more cost effective on the labor costs and installation materials. And you could also have a heat pump model that'll give you heat in the between seasons of spring and fall. And they're very energy efficient, so they're cheap on your electric bill to run.
So a ductless is a unit that just hangs on a wall. It doesn't need a window or anything. It's just, we have them all over my house, and you put them in. I think they're the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, well, like, you know, your house, you don't have the space for ductwork. It's multiple stories. You can't get stuff in the walls.
So you don't want to see ugly.
You could still have nice, good air conditioning in a older home and be comfortable.
Yeah, it works great. We're very happy with them.
Well, we have the heat pump so that in the fall when we don't want to turn on the boiler for the whole house, it's nice because it just warms up those rooms that have a chill in them.
Yeah, you don't have to fire a big boiler up and be heating all that water in a boiler to run for a few minutes to take the chill out when you could burn a little electricity and have it right instantaneous right there.
But like with most things in life, it requires some maintenance. What do we have to do to these units?
Well, once a year, you should have it serviced, clean the coils on the outdoor unit, clean the indoor coil, and you should be checking your air filters yourself on the indoor unit.
How often should you?
You're supposed to do it monthly, but it depends on how clean your house is. If you have kids and pets, you might want to check them a little sooner than that, because the dirtier they are, the more ineffective it is. It's hard on the unit.
What else do you have to do when you come out and service these?
Well, on yours, we clean the condensate drains, and on your central air unit, we put tablets in the drain pan and pads, they're called, that are microbial, bacterial inhibitors that stop slimes and molds and bacteria spores from growing, and it helps the drains to stay open and not get any foul odors or anything blowing out of it. So there is maintenance involved that people don't think about as often as they should. But
yeah, I've opened up some of those drain pans and they're
scary looking in there.
Outright nasty. It's like jelly and all kinds of creatures growing in there. It's really, really bad. Yeah,
and that's where you lead into troubles. Then you're not getting good flow of the condensation out of there. And
you're blowing that all back into the room, right?
Blowing that around in the room, yeah.
And I can't wonder why my allergies are killing me, because I got fungus growing in my air conditioner.
Yeah, that's an important thing to get done every year, especially the air filters. You're circulating all the germs and bacteria, and they're sticking on that filter. And you're just circulating it through the house every time it comes on.
Every time you turn it on.
Yeah.
And you don't know. That's the thing. Yeah. You have no idea unless you're changing them and keeping on them and to make sure that they're okay. Yeah. The thing I like about, I think the beauty of those systems, the ductless, what I like about it the most is that you don't know that it's on when it's on.
They're so quiet now. You could have the fan speed on that quiet mode on yours. And you won't even know it's on, and you're nice and cool.
Well, we have a window air conditioner on.
But you let all the sound in, too, with that. With the windows closed and that air conditioner on just down low, the house, it's so quiet. You don't know what's going on outside.
You could talk, you could watch TV, and you hear nothing.
Right. And with those window units going through, we had an invasion of stink bugs that came in through the air conditioner one year, and they were all in the curtains.
Yep.
And I was there. I must have vacuumed 30 of... I hate stink bugs. They're big and they're nasty and there was 30 of them in the curtains. I said, we got to get rid of this window air conditioner.
And the folds of the curtains, we didn't even know until we were taking the units out that
we were overrun with them.
Well, we had, it was, everything was right for them. The moisture, the siding color, the color of our siding, and the way that the back wall of the house faces.
Right. We had the bug guy on, and he said the window unit was in just a little bit too long, and it was starting to get cold, so they were looking for a place to overwinter. And I guess my bedroom was a nice place for them to spend the winter.
And the folds of the curtains.
Yeah. No, yeah. We got to get rid of that.
Right. So, but when you have a window air conditioner on, you're cranking it, and it's on, like, you know, you're trying to get cool down, there's that, you're
warm,
loud. You can't even hear the person talking to you in the room. So that's what I like about the ductless.
Well, you have your compressor is right there in the window. With the ductless, it's outside out on the ground, isolated. It's outside, nobody hears. And they're even quiet anyway.
Right.
The new compressors on them, they don't make any noise.
So outside, the compressor's out there. And a lot of times people don't like the look of that compressor, and they're planting some shrubs around there because they want to hide it.
Yeah, we won't mention any names about that, Pat.
I didn't plant shrubs around compressors.
Holly bush.
No, holly is gone, but it's coming back.
Yeah, you want to keep things away from your outdoor unit, so when it's running, it's not sucking all the
leaves,
debris.
Little pine needles and
dirt from the tree when it's giving it off. You want to keep it out in the open, have good airflow going through it.
It's got to be about 2 feet away from the building.
Yeah, 2 feet is nice.
2 feet is enough.
2 feet, yeah. And keep some space around it. Don't plant your pine shrubs all around it.
Don't put all my flower pots on top of it and everything.
And then when you have to go service it, you can't get at it. It's all right. I have the pruners right in my truck.
I'm sure you do.
I make a little space when I need it.
So is it economical to run to house to have fans when you have air conditioning? Is it more economical to put like a fan on a ceiling fan in order to...
Well, if you have parts of the room or your house that aren't getting as cool as other parts and you have a ceiling fan going low, it might help, you know, spread the air out more evenly. It's not going to hurt.
How about turning off the air conditioning at times when you're not there? We talk about this when you're here for
heating.
When it's
90 degrees out and you're coming home at 5 o'clock, it's not good to turn the air on when you get home. Set it a little higher when you leave. You normally keep it on 72, bump it up to 75, maybe 76 when you leave in the morning. So you only have to cool down a few degrees, not 20 degrees.
Does it hurt the system if there's certain, if you have central air and there's certain areas that, you know, you don't want as cool as the other areas if you shut the vents?
No, it's not going to hurt it as long as you don't get carried away. You have to keep your return airs all open so you get good airflow going through. You'll just boost the pressure coming up by the other ones that are open.
Well, like in my office, for example, I hate central air. I can't stand it.
She does.
Really hate it.
She wears a sweater in the summertime.
Well, that's all you need is a sweater.
So I have Pat get the ladder out and close my vents.
No, that won't hurt anything. Okay. That's only one vent of many.
All right.
So you're going to boost up the air a little bit going somewhere else. That won't hurt anything.
All right, good. Well, we have the central air in the office, but we also have the ductless.
You have ductless too, yeah.
The right. Ductless hadn't been serviced in a while, and you came by last year, and it was a science experiment. The tube yeah. was all yeah. clogged up.
Yeah, it was all clogged
oh,
up.
Oh, it yeah. was. Oh, yeah, let's use that. And I wonder why we're all sick. Ugh.
Yeah. That was pure lack of maintenance.
Yes, I know.
There,
well, that's
so maintenance is important.
Maintenance is important on everything, yeah.
Is it something that we can do ourselves, or do we have to call you?
No. Well, no.
You're very busy.
If you're handy like Pat.
Yeah, but I don't have microbial tablets to kill everything in that dish.
You know, you can look it up on the internet. That's what everybody tells me. Oh, I was researching it online.
Uh-huh. No. Watching YouTube video.
Yeah, you should have probably fixed it then instead of calling me, right?
They make it worse, though,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You usually have to fix the units that the electrician installed, right? That's when you have the plumber doing the electrical, yeah, right? So everything gets all screwed up.
So that happens.
Tell me how long you've been doing what you do, heating and cooling. Your dad started, right?
Yeah, my father started. Well, when I was old enough not to wear a diaper, I was able to ride in the work truck with him.
And he took you everywhere.
Yeah, I was a sidekick.
So all right.
Helper.
How many years you been doing this? 25, 30 years?
About 40 now.
No way.
Yeah, I was going with him since I'm about probably 7.
Really? Right? And, yeah. And you're continuing the tradition?
Yeah, my boy's going with me, both of them.
Nice. So. They're learning everything. I loved your dad. Your dad was always, he was a good man. He was. I miss him.
Yeah, he taught him everything, you know.
Pat, before we go to a break, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a very nice, well-cared-for multifamily, an up-and-a-down duplex located at 1113 Taylor Avenue in Dunmore for $155,000. It has two two-bedroom apartments with separate gas, water, and electric. The kitchen and baths have been updated, and they are beautiful. It has a beautiful yard, and the lot is 150 feet deep. It also has a concrete driveway with plenty of off-street parking. So if you're looking for an updated two-unit with two-bedroom apartments and separate utilities, give us a call about 1113 Taylor Avenue in Dunmore for $155,000, and that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. We're pleased to announce the latest addition to our sales force, Megan Passamato. Before joining us, Megan was the manager of business development at One Point, a local office furniture and supply company. She was responsible for marketing, sales, and product line management. She is currently co-owner of On and On, a retail marketplace in the downtown Scranton area. Megan is vice chair of Leadership Lackawanna and chair of the Event Planning Committee for Lackawanna Arts and Education Council. She's also a member of the Business Committee for Northeast Regional Cancer Institute's Casual Day. She was named one of the top 20 under 40 by NEPA Business Journal and also named one of the top 40 under 40 by the Times Leader. Megan is teaming up with her partner in life and business, Andrew Planey, realtor who has been with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate since 2014. Together, they are determined to assist all who seek their help and guidance in purchasing or selling residential and commercial properties. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you Make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney. Good morning.
Good morning again. How you doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm cool.
We have Bob Warner, our heating and cooling specialist. How
are you? We're
talking
cooling today, Jack.
Yes,
cooling,
we are. Jackie, it's cooling. The time of year.
Yeah, let's think ice cream.
Uh-huh. And everybody loves their air conditioning in the summer months. And so we're talking, in the first half of the show, we were talking about central air, ductless air conditioning, and maintenance.
Heat pumps, yeah.
And maintenance of these items, because they all need to be maintained properly so that we can have efficient cooling and heating, correct?
Yes, Jack.
Clean and replace filters, the air filters. And that's important.
Yeah, dirty air filter, you don't get good airflow, and you don't need those fancy, expensive, pleated air filters.
Why?
Regular, normal air filter is the best thing you could use. After 30 days, throw it away and buy a new one. They're only $1 a piece. You don't need the fancy $6 or $8 ones. They're made a little bit too tight. You get a little bit of dust on them, and it cuts the airflow down significantly, especially running on cooling mode. You could ice up a coil. You don't get good airflow over it.
So more expensive doesn't necessarily mean...
Yeah, more expensive isn't always better.
Okay.
People, I go there to clean them and they're...
This is regarding air filters.
Yeah,
air filters. How about units? Is more expensive better?
Well, sometimes more expensive is better if it's the quality of the unit, the way it's made.
You like some better than others, right?
Well, yeah, I like some better than the others, but they all have different grades of their equipment. It's the enclosures on the outside, the way they're designed, how long they're going to hold up, how robust they're built.
And are any of these units, for those of us who like to buy products made in America, are any of these units made in America?
Very few are made in America. Everything's south of the border now.
Mm-hmm.
There are one or two companies still left in the United States that are making them here. And there's a local company in New Jersey making air conditioning coils that are used on almost any brand furnace. If you want to put central air in that, you could get their equipment. But condensers and furnaces, everything's kind of made out of the country now.
What happens in the summer months around the air compressor outside of the house? What do we need to think about as we're cutting our grass, whacking our weeds, and mulching?
Like when Pat's out there running the weed whacker and slamming it off the side of the air conditioner.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I blow everything right into the unit.
Don't give your 10-year-old kid the weed whacker and tell him go weed whack around your outdoor unit and stick the string weed whacker through your coil outside on your outdoor unit.
Major problems can occur.
You should handle that like it's an egg. Don't be sitting on it, leaning on it, moving it around. They are very delicate.
So should you build a wall around it?
No, don't build a wall around it.
You can't protect it?
Yeah, just stay away from it. Don't plant trees by it, shrubs by it. When you're cutting the grass, blow the grass away from it. Stay away from it with the weed whacker.
So if someone If someone was to build a wall around it or over it to shade it, they're actually not really doing it.
If you build a wall and it's far enough away, like give it some space, 3-4 feet around it.
Well, what if you built a wall and the guy who was working on it, let's say he's not petite, how would he get in there?
Yeah, then you're stuck when you need to work on it or replace it.
You can't get in there.
You're not getting good airflow around it. You should have some airflow around it.
Okay, so when the summer's over, fall arrives, the leaves are falling, and it's getting cooler, should we cover this unit?
Some manufacturers say not to cover them up, that you don't need to. I personally cover mine up. help keep all the leaves out of it. When
with
I know
what?
I'm done using it.
A canvas bag, a plastic bag.
I use
a
regular tarp. I use a brown tarp.
All right.
And I put that over it and wrap it like a present, wrap a rope around there.
And why did the manufacturer say not to?
Well, sometimes they say it holds the moisture in there.
Oh.
And it's going to help rot it away sooner. But I haven't seen any noticeable
difference.
And I think keeping the rain and the crap out of it's more important than holding a little moisture in it. And another thing with like people with their mulch, when they're mulching around them, they don't realize it keeps building up higher and higher and it's getting all up inside the unit. And the units, all their drain holes are on the bottom of them to let the rain and the moisture out of them. And now they clog all that up with the mulch. And that helps rot them away a lot sooner and kills the life expectancy of them, cuts down on them.
And so don't plant a tree over it to shade it.
Don't plant trees
because
over
the
it.
Leaves, when they fall, they're going right into the
right
unit.
Right in it, yep.
So keep the area around it free.
Clean.
Free of vegetation, mulch, and
leaves.
And when you're cutting the grass, turn the unit off.
Yeah, so don't suck
everything
in
there, and then it get baked on the coils.
Yep.
Nice.
Or else you'll be going out to clean it again.
No, they won't. They'll call Bob.
Yeah.
Well, they'll say, why isn't my unit working properly?
Well, I was saying
that. It cuts down on the efficiency of it. It's running a lot harder to do the same job.
But do you notice that? Do you know when you're inside? Is it running harder? Is it louder?
Well,
how do you
sometimes
know?
Sometimes you might realize it ain't blowing as cool or, you know, it's just sucking up more electricity on you, too.
Okay. So you'll see a change in your spike in your electric bill, maybe.
The cleaner it is, the better.
More efficient it will run. Okay. So back inside, when we're talking about efficiency here, is it better to have a programmable thermostat?
Well, if you ask Pat, your husband, he kind of loves programmable thermostats.
He does.
I do.
He's a gadget man.
Yes, he is.
He likes to be able to program that and play with it.
And guess who overrides it all the time?
Really?
In the summer,
House you go into with the programmable thermostat, they seem to have the hold button pressed, holding it on 72 or 73.
Nope.
And they just leave it like that.
Not my house. My house, it goes down. We have the heat turned down. At night, it goes down to 65. In the morning at about 6 o'clock, it comes back up to 68. When we're gone during the day after 9:30, it goes back down, and then it kicks back on at about 4:30 before we come home. And you never even know.
Well, you're one of the few people that could program it to do that.
And on the weekend, it's different.
Older people aren't too electronic savvy. They have a hard time understanding how to do the programming of them. They have a hard time with it.
Yeah, my dad does too. I have to do with my dad is I have TeamViewer. And I take over his.
You could help him.
Yeah, I take over his computer, and I just say, "Dad, watch what I'm doing." And I'm on the phone, and I, I think he's watching TV while I'm doing it because he's absolutely not paying attention.
You're
going
to go there, and he's got the hold button.
Yeah, he's got the hold button. He's got the hockey puck. I think he had the programmable one, and they came back in and changed it and put the hockey puck in there.
And you got to remember, two of these thermostats have batteries in them too. The programmable ones, a lot of them. So if the power does go off, it holds your programming. And then that's another common thing that happens. The batteries go dead on them, and people are like, oh, we have no heater, no air conditioning, because they never noticed the low battery sign
that was
flashing on the thermostat.
Well, why do they got to look at it when it's on hold?
Yeah. So that's a common occurrence.
So is it better to set the thermostat at a certain temperature and leave it, or do the programmable? Your opinion.
As a heating and cooling specialist. When it's 90 degrees out, it's easier to maintain and not be going up and down crazy amounts. Like, dropping up or down 3-4 degrees when you're not home, that's fine. It's efficient, but...
But getting the machine to try and cool it down 15 degrees is no good.
No, it's no good. Your walls, everything's getting warm, and now you got to cool everything down, your furniture, your walls. It's going to run and run. You're just sucking your electricity up. PP&L like you.
Oh, they love me.
All right, let's talk about the size of air conditioning units. Say you have a 2,000-square-foot home. Is there a certain size of unit that you should be looking at?
Well, if you're looking to see the proper sizing of your unit, you should have a heat loss done. And that determines your sizing that you'll need. You can't just use a generic thing and say, oh, it's 2,000 square feet. I need 400 BTUs per square footer. You got to kind of do what your R values you have in your walls, R values of your window sizes, how much loss you have, the thickness of your insulation, your ceiling. What sun you're getting too is important. Like, is your house in the sun all day? Is it only getting sun on one side? All that factors in on how many BTUs that you're going to need.
How about if you have, layout? How well, about like if you have an open floor plan as opposed to individual rooms?
Well, that's a thing too, but the bottom line is how much is it going to hold inside your house? So if you're you got to go by R values, wall thickness, insulation, walls, ceiling, doors, windows, how much glass you have. Because glass windows are, you know, your biggest heat loss in the wintertime, and now they're just as bad in the summertime when you're trying to cool. You got all that hot sun coming from them, heating them up, radiating, heating up your house on you. So it's another thing you want to do when you're running your air is keep your curtains drawn so you're not letting all that sun blast through. If you know, every little bit helps. So sometimes bigger is a little better. So you're not right on the money running it and running it and running it.
Okay. Heat pumps. How does a heat pump work?
A heat pump works by reversing the flow of your freon gas that's in your unit. You're taking the heat and putting it in your coil inside your house. Instead of making your coil on your air handler cold, you're making it hot.
It's blowing the cold air outside.
And it's taking, yeah, exactly. You're just reversing what you're doing in AC compared to for your heat pump for heat. So it's an effective way of getting heat out of your air conditioning unit that's now a heat pump for in between seasons. You can get heat out of it. That's what you have with your ductless.
Is a
heat pump model, yeah.
And what temperature will these work until they lose their efficiency when it gets really cold out?
Yeah, your ductless like you have, you could get down into the teens with that. It's a high efficiency model. And now a central air unit heat pump is not going to get you those temperatures like that just because of the design of them. You know, you'll get down 30s and they're like in between seasons where you could kind of get into cold weather with yours.
Yeah, never really turn it on when it's really, really, really cold.
Yeah, you lose it, you know. You're not getting the performance out of it.
Yeah, if we get a chill, we turn it up and boom, it warms the room up in 10 minutes.
If it's blown heat, you're good, you know?
Yeah.
If it's not too cold out, you're still going to get heat out of it.
Yeah, I love mine.
It's not a main source of heat in our climate. That's what you got to remember. A heat pump is a backup source of heat. You still need electric heat strips in with it or another source of heat, a furnace, baseboard, whatever you have. But it's good for those in-between seasons.
Bob Warner, heating and cooling specialist. We had a great discussion with you today. We thank you for your time. Again, how long have you been a heating and cooling specialist?
Well, we're working on 40 years.
Excellent. All right. So Dad started the business, and you go just about everywhere in Lackawanna County, correct?
Yep.
All right. Yep,
down the valley.
Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes, we have a large 6-bedroom, 2-bath home at 1857 Yard Avenue in Scranton for $149,000. This great home has a bottom floor that can be an in-law suite or an apartment with separate entrances. This modern home has first floor laundry and hardwood floors. It also has a large fenced-in yard, a large rear deck, and plenty of off-street parking. That's a 6-bedroom, 2-bath home with the possibility of an in-law suite at 1857 Yard Avenue in Scranton for $149,000. And that's listed by Sam Shelter of our office.
Thank you, Pat. I do have national statistics, not local. I have national. Buyers using cash to pay for that home. And when they pay cash for the home, there's a great big chance that they're getting that home at a discount. This is a recent report released by Realty Track, and the PAR, Pennsylvania Association of Realtors, wrote an article on it. And it showed that all cash home buyers of both single family homes and condominiums across the country pay 23% less per square foot than all home buyers in the first quarter of 2016. They paid a median of $91 per square foot compared to the median of $118 per square foot for all home purchases nationwide. Harrisburg was the second highest on the list of cash buyers, receiving the most percentage off. Harrisburg buyers saw an average discount of 52% for all cash buyers, only 6.2% behind the top spot, which went to Baltimore. Cash buyers typically beat out traditional buyers using financing, even when the cash offer is lower. Another reason cash purchases normally sell at lower prices per square foot is because cash buyers are often willing to take on properties in poor condition that may not readily qualify for standard financing.
Cash is king.
You know, and people often say to me, what's the difference? I'm going to get cash at the closing when the lender finances the deal. The difference is, and I, you know, I'm not trying to take away from my mortgage friends in the business mortgage brokers and banks, but really, it takes a lot of red tape out of it and a lot of hurdles out of the equation, so it is easier. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.